We are always asking young people the question, what do they want to be when they grow up? But rarely do we ask, who do they want to become when they grow up? But asking that question, it's not easy, and not every person that we coach is ready for it. But those are the conversations and the relationships that we as transformational coaches yearn to have with our players. How do we move from being a coach to a mentor, though? As I thought about this question, I quickly thought of Jack Easterby. Before Jack Easterby became the executive vice president of operations for the Houston Texans, he was the character and culture coach for the Patriots. And nearly a decade before that, he was a leadership coach for my team when I played at the University of South Carolina. We had the privilege of having Jack on the podcast back around episodes 35 through 37. And I said it then, and I will say it again. Jack was just one of those guys. If we are fortunate, we get to know one or two people like Jack in our life that aren't just great people or great friends, but they are great mentors. When people are around them, they want to be better. The thing about Jack that I remember, though, is that he rarely gave team talks. In fact, I don't actually remember once him speaking to our team. It wasn't inspirational talks to the team. It was one-on-one chats. That's how he served us. I only had the fortune of being on the team for one season, but in that season, the funny thing is I always remember being a little uncertain of what his role was. I'd ask teammates, they might say, oh, he's our chaplain or he's our leadership coach. But usually it was just, he's a friend. Some players seem really close to him. Often I'd find them having deep one-on-one chats, but not everybody was. Jack would ask you questions, though, about yourself as a person, and he genuinely seemed interested in getting to know you, the person, not just you, the player. But most of all, he was available. Nothing ever felt forced. He let you know that if you ever wanted to grab lunch and talk, he was there. And it wasn't until the end of my season that I took him up on that offer and grabbed lunch with him. And that was because I remember finally reaching a point where I not only felt safe, but actually a deep desire to connect with him, to share some of my personal struggles and challenges with him. Now, Jack has been a mentor to many players and coaches he's worked with throughout his life in sports. I remember being in New England a few years ago at their training camp, and just a few of the family members of the athletes sharing the impact that Jack has had on their family, on their marriage. As aspiring transformational coaches, I think we all want to have a similar impact on the people we coach. We want to move from being a coach to being a mentor. So how do we do that? Well, I think we can learn a lot from people like Jack and how we can do this, because it's not easy and it's not the same process with every player that we work with. In today's episode, we're going to share some principles, some strategies, and some questions that I think can help you move forward in that process with every player in your program. Welcome to the Coaching Culture Podcast, brought to you by Thrive on Challenge. I'm JP Nurbin, joined by my friend and co-host Nate Sanderson. Each week in about 30 minutes, we discuss important principles and strategies of transformational leadership. At Thrive on Challenge, we help coaches to raise the standards and strengthen the relationships in their program because we know this type of culture produces better leaders, better people, and better results. To learn more about how we can help you, go to thriveonchallenge.com, where you can also subscribe to our weekly newsletter and get the coaching notes to every episode of this podcast. Just before we get going today, I wanted to let you know that if you enjoy this podcast and you want more, you should check out the Culture Builders podcast, where we share thoughts, tools, and tips on leadership and culture during the week in about 3 to 5 minutes per episode. Just search for Culture Builders in your podcast app, or you can use the link in today's episode's details.
Well, JP, as you described the relationship that you had with Jack during your collegiate career, I think a lot of us can identify or think back to people that we've been able to connect with in a unique way. You know, somebody that has come across our path, maybe that's in a mentorship role or a coaching role or a ministry role that we've just been able to connect with because they've asked great questions, because they've allowed us to be ourselves. And in many cases, they've allowed us to explore who we really are and maybe even who we want to be. And when we think about our mission as transformational coaches, I think for the coaches that we work with, and I know in your experience and mine, this is this is maybe the holy grail of what we hope our role can be in the lives of our players. That yes, we want to help them in the sport, but we also want to be able to help them to grow into the person that they want to become. So this week on the podcast, we want to explore a little bit of that process. How do you go from just getting to know a player, perhaps for the first time as they come into your program, and hopefully by the time that they exit, you're in a place of influence, in a place where you have the ability perhaps to speak into their life in a way that's going to matter, that's going to allow them to discover who they want to be, who they are, and how they can make strides to becoming that person down the road. And so we're going to walk through this continuum, JP, a little bit in this conversation. And I think it's probably appropriate to start with, what are some of the ways that you start to initially engage or questions maybe that you ask to start to get to know a player maybe for the first time?
So in preparation for this podcast, I said I'd throw out a question on Twitter and I asked coaches, hey, what are your favorite questions to ask players? And I got a wide range of responses there. I think there's over like 100 different suggestions. Some of these questions were very surface level, just getting to know the player. And some of them were really, really deep. And I took away some really, really good questions from some of those coaches out there that I might end up using. But this episode is not about just listing off some great questions. You know, I think what's really important is that when we start to ask questions, not about the player, but about the person, that we're actively listening and we're listening, looking for the thread to pull on. We never know what that's going to be because every player, every person is different. And so as you're listening, you're not just trying to pick up on things that are important to them, but you're trying to listen to pick up on things that you can connect with them on, things that you may be able to relate to them on through your own experiences or your own interests, because I think that's where authentic and genuine connection comes from.
And sometimes, JP, these introductory questions or these initial lines of conversation might seem like common sense to a lot of coaches out there, but you and I know we've got some in the mentorship program where small talk is not their gift. You know, that if they're not asking about how their jump shot feels today, they're not really sure what else to talk about with a player, you know, in a stretching line or on the bus or during a JV game. So a couple of things that we've suggested that coaches try are, you know, one is just asking questions about school or asking questions about other sports or asking questions about siblings. You know, the three S's, school, sports, and siblings are often a great place to start conversations. And as you said, sometimes their answers may lead you to asking follow-up questions that help you to get to know, you know, a little bit more about that person. And ultimately, that's kind of what we're looking for here, what we're trying to unpack a little bit this week is how do you go from learning about someone's favorite football team or learning about their younger sibling or learning about their least favorite class in school to starting to get to know the person a little bit more.
Now, I think what's really important for us to mention here, you know, as we're asking these questions, we're starting to try to learn about the person, that some players are going to respond differently even at this very first level. So, you know, as I've mentioned on a couple previous episodes of the podcast, I've recently taken a new role coaching a women's professional basketball team here in Ireland. And as I've been going through and having conversations with 15 different players, it's really unique because in these initial conversations, I'm just trying to get to know a little bit about them and then just a little bit about their experience and their maybe hopes for the season. But you can already see that certain players respond differently to certain questions. And what I mean by that is some players are just really excited to share about themselves. And those threads are really easy to pull on. And they almost are craving a deeper conversation. You know, you can almost already feel it. And others are kind of a little bit hesitant. And I think that is oftentimes sometimes due to their personality or sometimes just their own experiences. Like I shared with the story with Jack Easterby, you know, as I had never had a coach or anybody in that type of role ask me personal questions, really, and just show a real genuine curiosity to know about me, you know, beyond basketball. And he was so curious. And for me, that kind of like you know, send off triggers. Like, what's up with this? You know, and it was a little bit uncomfortable at first. And so I think that we need to be really, really, you know, just attuned to our players' responses as we start to ask these questions. And they're going to give us certain cues that say, hey, okay, keep on asking, right? Let's keep talking. And they're going to be really, really warm. And other players, this is going to be a much slower process. And one thing that I think is discouraging for some coaches who are really trying to be transformational, that really want to get to know the person, the real person, and really learn about more about them and deepen that relationship, is that I think more now than ever, players are more resistant to those type of conversations. And I think it's because they lack real, authentic, you know, those type of mentorship type relationships with coaches out there. I think they're more and more rare that adults are having those conversations. And so I think they're probably a little bit more resistant.
Well, and I think what I would add to that, JP, is that I think in a lot of ways, kids are just out of practice, you know, maybe compared to where they were before smartphones or 30 years ago when we started coaching, that their interpersonal skills have not developed at the same pace, you know, today as maybe what they did 20 years ago. Maybe part of that's technology, part of that's social media. There's lots of reasons for that. But what it means is, as coaches, we really have to earn the right to be able to progress the relationship. And so, you know, how do we start to deepen some of our questioning? How do we start to get into maybe a little bit more depth in our conversations? You know, one thing I would say as coaches, we have to be more creative. In other words, if you're an older coach that's maybe a little bit out of touch with this generation based on what they're watching on TV versus what you're watching, or what they're listening to for music versus what you're listening to, I think sometimes we have to play that ignorance up and use it as a way to encourage players to educate us about these kids today. You know, when I find out that half of our team is engaged in watching The Bachelor a couple of years ago, I start asking all kinds of questions about this show, The Bachelor, like I'm from another planet. You know, like I have no concept of what's going on here. I pick up little bits and pieces from their conversations. And so I start asking, sort of in a joking way, a bunch of ignorant questions, you know, and just get them to try to explain to dummy old coach over here what's actually going on and why this is so interesting to the team. And again, that may sound silly, but it provides a connection point that we can joke around with a little bit and maybe opens the door to asking some other questions, you know, related to that down the line. And sometimes, JP, that requires a little bit of extra work. Like, I'm not necessarily going to devote myself to watching every episode of The Bachelor. I might read a summary just so I can drop some knowledge bombs on them and really surprise them sometime after an episode. But it also means at times, you know, when I have a couple players on our teams the last couple of years that have been really good soccer players, and I know a little bit about soccer, but not that much. But I ordered a couple books about the history of the women's national soccer team, and I read them. And so in my conversations with these kids, I would say, hey, did you know this? Like, I heard this story, or I read this book, or I saw this thing on ESPNW. And I was sharing stories with them about the history of the women's national program that they had never heard before. And so, you know, it took a little bit of research. It took a little bit of time on my part, but it really opened the door, you know, to me being more informed and us being able to have conversations on their turf, so to speak, again, to start developing more of that rapport.
I love those examples because I think it's all about starting to go a little bit deeper and starting that process on things that are of interest to them, but not always necessarily about them. But I think the next step is, and sometimes can be, to ask their opinion on certain things, you know. And I know people sometimes want to go like, oh, politics or current events. It doesn't necessarily need to even be big topics like that in current events. Sometimes it could just be simply their opinion about the way things are run at school, you know, and you're not necessarily sharing your own opinion, but you're just like, what do you think about, you know, the food? Well, that can lead to, what do you think about the start time of school to, what is about that policy? You know, that, like, just asking their opinion. I don't think many kids ever have that experience. And obviously with COVID, you know, happening and all these policies and people approaching different ways, there's lots of different threads. You know, how would you approach it if you were a leader? Just asking their opinion on things that necessarily don't require a great amount of vulnerability, or just things that are very controversial, you know, at the moment. And so I think that's just one more way to start pulling on some other threads to learn about them by allowing them to share some of their own thoughts.
Well, I love that suggestion, JP, of trying to solicit opinion about things that kids may not think a lot about or have been asked about in other contexts. You know, one of the things that I get a lot of mileage out of is having two young kids at home. You know, we've got a 6-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old daughter, and you might have actually heard them in the background of this podcast recording today. But asking kids, you know, our players, what they remember about being 6 or being 3, or asking them, you know, what are the best things that you did when you were a kid with your dad? You know, or asking them, especially for kids that have younger siblings, you know, when did your little brother start to wipe his own rear end? Or when did your little brother, when was he able to buckle his own safety belt in the seatbelt? You know, like, how much more time do I have to wait until these things happen? You know, it's kind of a funny thing. The kids enjoy it because, of course, they're interacting with our kids at practice. Sometimes I ask kids about parenting advice. Sometimes I ask kids about, you know, advice about being a big sister, trying to get them to share that with Adelaide. Like, in some ways that makes, you know, those conversations a little more personal because you're interweaving your own family into it in a way that's kind of fun because, again, our kids are around. And the other thing I think is a good conversation piece that goes beyond just learning about somebody's likes or favorites or what have you is talking about a common experience. So in other words, like, we ask questions in our one-on-ones at the beginning of the year of, you know, what do you want to get out of this season? What's a successful season look like? And, you know, those are important questions. But I think even coming out of a difficult game, or if you're as a team and you're at a restaurant, and you're watching a basketball game, or you've just come out of practice, or you've done a mental health day or a team building activity, you know, whatever, and you're following it up with, well, how did that go? You know, what'd you get out of that? Or how could we have done that differently? Like, because you've experienced it together, you know, you can start to leverage that a little bit because, one, you're getting feedback as a coach that hopefully is going to help you. But, two, you're getting them to reflect on something that you both went through together, which I think also begins to deepen that relationship a little bit.
And what's so great about your examples there, they're helping the individual feel comfortable and to feel safe. Like we said earlier, some people are going to be really comfortable early on to share. Others, it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of effort on our part for them to feel comfortable to share. And some of your examples were fantastic, but the one there at the end I think is great because in some of the conversations off the court or off the field, I think we need to position ourselves as equals to our players. Now, I think maybe some people might disagree, but I think when you ask them their thoughts on, you know, what happened in the game or those type of questions, I think you're positioning yourself as equals or close to it of just, I really respect your opinion. And I think when certain players feel that you have this level of respect for them, you know, that you don't just see yourself as up here and them down there, I feel like that can do real wonders in that relationship and open up some other doors moving forward.
So one of the other questions, JP, that we often get from coaches is, how do you know when it's time to push a little bit deeper? You know, we talk about pulling on these threads and you're talking about your favorite show, but do you get into the morality of that show? Do you get into what does it mean for a guy to sit on a pedestal and have 8 girls fighting over, you know, the opportunity to be engaged to him for 2 weeks? Like, that seems like a strange ethical situation here. You know, like, how do you know? And certainly communicating with teenagers, as many coaches who are parents know, can be a difficult minefield in and of itself because there's all these natural sort of shutdown triggers that if you trip one of those wires, you ask the wrong question in the wrong way at the wrong time, you get a curt answer and you can tell they just don't want any part of it. So what are the things that you pay attention to as you're starting sort of this question and answer dance? And, you know, some of these may seem intuitive, but I think it's worth mentioning that just watching the body language and the posture and the eye contact, watching the shoulders of a player as they're responding to your question. Are they opening up to you? Are they closing to you? Are they looking at their phone when they're talking? Are they giving you eye contact? Are they looking out the window? Is their tone of voice communicating, this is all you're going to get from me? Or is it saying, I'm telling you a little bit, but I'm holding more back for you to ask another question to draw it out? Because some of us, based on our personality, like, that's kind of how we operate. That's how I operate a lot of times. I'm going to be a little bit reserved until you prove to me that you're really interested in what I have to say or what I think. And you know this from working with me, you're going to have to work for that a little bit before you're going to draw it out for me. And so being able to start to recognize those nonverbal cues and paying attention to those. You mentioned before at the start of the episode that listening intently with curiosity is so important, but that listening goes beyond just the words that are being spoken. It's how they're being spoken, and being able to recognize the softness or the receptivity to say, now's the time we might be able to go a little bit deeper. Now's the time for a great follow-up question, or now's the time I just need to back off this conversation. I got to land the plane and maybe I'll move on to someone else or the next thing, and let it sit and let it rest and maybe come back to it another time later in the season. And this, by the way, JP, drives my wife crazy as a parent, because her personality is, I want an answer and I want a solution and I want action right now. And my approach as a parent with our young kids is, I'm going to give them some latitude to talk when they're ready to talk. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we can't connect or she can't connect, but sometimes it's harder for coaches that want to be action-oriented right now to be patient and to wait and to trust that eventually they're going to get the opportunity to dig and ask the questions that they want to ask.
Well, it doesn't just drive your wife crazy. It drives me crazy sometimes too. When we're recording this podcast, I'm like, let's just get it out. Come on, man, let's share. So it's not just your wife, you know, but all you're talking about, these cues, these verbal cues, these, you know, these visual cues. I think there's nobody better at it that I've seen it than Jack Easterbean. I mean, why was he so exceptional as the character and culture coach for the New England Patriots? It's because he's super, super intentional about it. And he's not always sure about when he should push, but he shared with me when I was in New England one time that he would look for those cues. He would say something, he'd ask a question, he might put his arm around a guy, he might, you know, tell a guy he loved him, he might, you know, ask him a tough question, and then he would see how they would respond. Not just what they would say, but he would really look for those cues to say, is this person communicating to me that they're comfortable for me to continue in this manner? Or do I need to back off a little bit? And he was so intentional, he'd actually take notes on those and all those player interactions, because he knew that building a relationship with all the players in the New England Patriots and the coaching staff was not this one size fits all. It wasn't about, oh, I've got this secret question I'm going to ask this player, and it's up, here we go, it's the key to the relationship. He knew everyone was a different place, and it all comes down to our emotional intelligence as a coach to be able to pick up on those cues and to react accordingly. And sometimes, like you said, that goes against our personality. I know it does mine. I want that relationship. I want to move forward. I want the secret questions to be able to use in all these scenarios and just move it along at my pace. But that's not how relationships work for so many of our players. And we need to be respectful of that.
And all that being said, I think begs the question, how do we get to the point, you know, that Joe Irma describes in Inside Out Coaching, or that Tim Elmore talks about in his work, where we're able to come alongside a person and help them to identify who they want to become and a greater awareness of themselves to realize where they are and what the difference is between where they are and who they want to be? Because certainly it does require some more difficult, more intimate questions. It requires some probing. It requires them to do some searching and be able to share that in a place that is safe. So how do you get to that point? And just to give coaches a couple practical examples, we had Boomer Roberts on the podcast a couple of months ago, and I know Boomer well, and he uses music as a common ground. You know, he'll ask his players, what are you listening to? What do I need to listen to better understand you? Or give me a song right now that, you know, that the lyrics you just really identify with. And he would tell you straight to your face that these are songs and lyrics and artists that he would never, ever, you know, listen to or discover on his own. But he's found it to be such a great way to open a door, you know, to some of the things that his players are identifying with, because they relate to the lyrics and to the emotions that are expressed there, and in a way that's comfortable and on their terms, that opens the door for him to have some really great conversations. You know, there's other questions that we ask in our exit interviews at the end of the year. Kids just know these questions are coming. But one is, you know, if you woke up tomorrow and basketball no longer existed on the earth, in fact, sports were gone altogether, you'd have a lot of free time on your hands. What would you do with that time? You know, we ask him, like, if you had to spend that time reading, what would you want to read about? You know, these are ways to, like, start to get a little bit deeper in terms of figuring out who they are and what makes them tick and what they're interested in. And we've even added, JP, to that exit interview question at the end of the year, who do you want to become? And we provide a little context, like not what do you want to do, not what do you want to study, not where do you want to go to school, but when you're at school, when you make it to college, when you're in that first job, when you're a parent down the line someday, who do you want to be? How do you want people to describe you? And for some of our players, it's the first time anybody's ever asked them that question. And so once we get an answer, then we can start to try to work backwards a little bit of like, well, what does that look like on this team? What does this look like for you as a leader? What does this look like for you in the classroom? You know, and start to help them to be able to identify ways that they can start walking that out in their life right here and right now.
Well, one of the things that inspired this episode of the podcast was our conversation with Jeff Miller. And I thought he gave great advice that really fits well here, which is, you know, when a player is experiencing a lack of confidence, they're nervous, they're afraid, you know, whether it's stepping to the plate, shooting a free throw, kicking the penalty shot, whatever it be, going into any game, is that's okay, first off, to normalize it, he suggested. But the next thing was then to ask, why is this so important to you? And that's a question you can ask why, follow up with why, and to drill deep, like, why is it important to you? Oh, because I want to win. Well, why do you want to win? And you just keep drilling down from, you know, from that type of question of why is this important to you, to really get at the root of why their sport is important to them. You know, why does it mean so much to them? And it kind of falls in the same line of that question of, you know, what would they do without their sport? You know, it's walking down that path of exploring how much of their identity is connected to their sport and trying to help them to become experience a greater level of awareness about that reality.
And you know, JP, another way to ask that question is to ask your players, when you walk into a room, you know, you walk into a classroom for the first time, what do people already know about you? Oh, they know I play basketball. Oh, they know I'm an athlete. Oh, they know I, you know, took algebra 2, whatever. And then you ask them, well, what would you want them to know? You know, like, what would you want your reputation to precede you to be? Right. And it's just another way to get around to that same idea of what do you want your identity to be rooted in? And you can ask it in that way as well.
So those are some great questions. And I know many coaches are really going to want to get their hands on the podcast notes because they want those questions. But more important than the question, I really believe, is patience. Patience and a willingness to meet them where they are at. I have coaches that start off day one of their program that have asked young men, what type of man do you want to be? Who do you want to become? They do this in team talks. They do this in one-on-ones. And the players have responded as a majority, as a team, really, really well. They're comfortable. They're engaged. They want to join the coach on this transformational journey, right? Like, are all about it, right? My coach cares about me as a person. I have coaches that are in similar schools at similar levels that try the same approach, and it completely backfires on them because those kids, for whatever reason, in that school culture or that program culture, are not ready for that type of conversation. And coaches have to be patient and they have to be more intentional. And yes, it's tiring and exhausting sometimes because you want to have those really, really strong relationships that are often so fulfilling. And I'm sure it pains you to read about The Bachelor, just like it pains me to read up on some of this stuff as well too at different moments. But if we really, really want to build these relationships, we've got to identify first, where are they? Are they ready for this? And if they're not, then we have to put on the brakes a little bit, slow down, and start to connect with them through those kind of different phases.
And JP, as we kind of wrap up our conversation here this week, I can't help but think back to what you shared about Jack Easterby in the opening. And that was, he saw his role as being available. If you want to come to lunch with me, standing invitation. You don't have to. Nobody has to. But if anybody wants to, you're welcome to, right? And when I think about that, in terms of the conversations that we're having here and kind of in light of what you just said, that everybody's going to be in a different place our purpose is not necessarily to have to get every relationship to that third level of, you know, helping a player become who they want to be. It's just being available to meet players where they're at. And, you know, I was reading, my daughter likes to read Love Does for Kids by Bob and Lindsay Goff. And there's a quote in there that we read the other night that I think just really encapsulates kind of our mission as transformational coaches. And he was describing Jesus and how he saw his disciples when he was first calling them to follow him. And the thing that Bob Goff said is that he saw them for who they were becoming, even if they couldn't see it for themselves. And I think that's such a great descriptor of the power of having a mentor in the life of our young people, is that we are able to see who they could become, even if they can't, at the times when they can't see it for themselves. And you're certainly blessed and better because you had that relationship with Jack Easterby. I can name people in my life who have done that for me. And ultimately, coaches, I think that's what we want to try to be, is to be available to see the best in our players and help them along that process of becoming who they want to be.
That's it for today's episode. If you find this podcast valuable, please share it, leave a review. If you like our new music, let us know. Or if you've got other recommendations for topics or guests, please send us an email. All our information is in this episode's details.